Well, church, one of our goals, missions as a body of believers, is to be a group of people who multiply, who don't just have God do one thing in us and then maybe we add a little bit or maybe reproduce a little bit, but actually that we genuinely do things that multiply, whether it's pouring into others and discipling other people who disciple other people, whether it's through church planting, and also something that's so important to us. That's one of the reasons that we love missions so much. We love getting to pour into missionaries, especially missionaries who are having a multiplying effect all over the globe. And we've been able to hear from some of those missionaries this year. It's been so incredible to do that. But I'm really excited today that we get to hear from Keith and Sandra. I'm really excited that we also, that Keith is going to be bringing the word for us today and preaching God's word to us. I'm just really excited for each of you to get to hear what God has for you today. So I want to invite you, as they come up on stage, can you give them a very, very warm Quarry Rock welcome?
Thank you much. Yes, thank you. Well, we're delighted to be here. It's great to be with you. We're kind of been your neighbors. We've lived 32 years in Mitchell, South Dakota, pastored there, and then the last 8 years of our lives, we've been working in Nepal, of all places. When we first were invited to go there, we didn't even know where it was, and so I hope before we're done here that you'll have a little better idea where it is as well. And we know some of you, we've gotten to know some of you this morning, and some of you we knew when we were pastoring in Mitchell. And Bridget, it's great to have you here. We'll look forward to renewing our friendship all in a little while. But I just think what I want to do, we want to do two or three things. We want to introduce you to ourselves, because you have, as a church, been supporting the work of the ministry in Nepal through us for the last couple of years. And so we want to acquaint you with the Nepal work a bit. We also want to acquaint you with ourselves, so you know us a little better, so know better how to pray for us and the work there. And then I want to share, of course, the Word of God, as Pastor Tim mentioned to you. So those are the three things we're going to try to go for. And I'm going to ask my wife to share with you just a little bit about us, and she can share whatever God might have laid on her heart just a little bit as well.
Thank you. If we were in a Nepali congregation this morning, the first thing we would say would be Jamesy. And we have these little pins on this morning. It's the same as like Maranatha or Come Lord Jesus. And so in the Christian circle, that's their greeting. So Jamesy. Keith and I were both raised in Kansas and lived all of our lives there through college. And then we took up our first, it was there that we felt the call into ministry, and took up our first pastorate in 1972 when we were married at that time. And that carried us, the perfectly faithful Lord carried us through all those years. And this summer in July, we will be married 52 years. And yeah. And when the people in Nepal ask us, so how old we are and how long we've been married, oh my, they just, yeah, that is quite the shock, because most of their lifespan is not very long, for sure. And then I just want you to know that I and we still climb mountains or baby hills or something in Nepal. So we're, as long as God gives us breath, we carry on. And that has been a beautiful thing. I want to say that when, thank you. We do have three sons and beautiful wives. We have seven grandchildren, six Nash grandboys, and one granddaughter. So Nash's don't do much, but seems to have lots of boys so in our lives. So it has been a privilege to serve. When we finished our last, after 42 years of pastoral ministry, we finished in 2016 of July, and by September, we had moved to Nepal to live there for 1 year and to minister the best we knew how to the beautiful people of Nepal. And that year was an amazing year for us. And many of our friends said, I would never leave my grandchildren. I would never go to another country and leave my family. The security of home, the travel, the things that you're going to be involved with. But God gave us beautiful verses that helped us to know and confirm in our hearts that he was going to be with us. And you know, when you pull up stakes when you are ready to retire, it is quite a different thing. And a verse in Isaiah 46:4 that says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. That's in Isaiah 46:4. And in God's perfect faithfulness, he carried us and sustained us through that whole year, and now we continue to go back 3-4 times a year, anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks at a time, and continue to carry on the call that God has given to us. And I just want you to say that there's no age limit to the call that God can place upon you. So don't think I'm too old, or I have too many other things to do, or what. When God calls you, he will sustain you and he will carry you. And it is with joy that we are here today to put faces to the Quarry Rock Church. And we've been receiving for a couple years now some donations and support, but didn't know who you were. So we're so thankful that we are part of the family and that you are praying for us. And we just, the things that you do when you send support helps to train missionaries, helps to build new churches, helps to encourage the believers on the other side of the world. Thank you for doing that, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Yep.
Thank you, Sandra. How many of you have an idea where Nepal is? Any of you know? Wow, you're pretty well-informed folks then. But like I said, we didn't know where it was for sure. It's sandwiched between India and China. It's about as far away as you can get from South Dakota. You can't go, if you go much further, you're going to be starting to return, is basically what it is. Takes about 30 hours from the time we leave Sioux Falls Airport till the time we arrive in Kathmandu to travel there. And Nepal is a country about the size, the land area size of Iowa, has about 30 million people, mostly Hindu and a few Buddhist people. But people's needs are the same the world over. Everybody needs saving grace. Everyone needs to have peace with God and assurance of life eternal in Jesus. And no other religion in the world provides the answer to the heart cry of human hearts other than Jesus. The Christian message is needed worldwide. And so, as Sandra mentioned, we sensed the call. We were actually invited by Global Partners, the mission arm of our Wesleyan Church, to go and help out this first-generation church in Nepal. It's a network of 20-some churches at this point, scattered over the Himalayan mountains. And yes, Nepal is the home of Mount Everest. It's the home of 8 out of 10 of the tallest mountains in the world. So it's all a rugged mountain land. And if you travel in Nepal, you're going to be traveling in mountains. That's just the way it is. And villages are planted all over in the mountains. And it is a breathtaking experience just to travel in the country. And you'll see on a short video, a little clip, about a three-minute video that we'll have in just a moment, that travel there is rugged. The roads are not very, very good. So most of the time, if I'm traveling alone with my our pastors there, I'll travel on motorcycle. If Sandra's with me, we'll be on a sort of like a Land Rover, and it's rugged, but it's wonderfully fulfilling to be out there, way beyond where no white person has ever been, and it's cool to be there. And like I said, these are first generation believers, and so that means most of them have been converted right out of Hinduism, some Buddhism, and they are learning what it means to be Christians. We have a sort of a residual understanding of Christianity, whether people are Christians here in America or not, whether they have a personal relationship with Jesus or not. Most people know what Christianity stands for. There, it's all a training process. So our primary role there is to train church leaders, And so we are going back this summer, towards the end of May, we'll go back again, and we'll have a training week in early June. Community health education is the course that's going to go for a week, and we'll have leaders come in for that for a week in Kathmandu. And then in July, we have another training week. This one's on biblical marriage and family. So we're training the pastors, the church leaders. Very few pastors, virtually none of the pastors are paid. They're all lay pastors, basically. And so they are being trained. And then we also have to help. There's also a process of helping them learn vocational skills so they can support their families while they carry on the ministry of the church. One of the districts nearby to the west of Kathmandu is an area called Gorkha, a region called Gorkha. Nepal has been, they pride themselves in not having been ever colonized by any country. And so because of its rugged terrain and because of its jungles, the British never were able to penetrate and get in there. And then when World War II broke out, they enlisted soldiers from Nepal, and particularly from the region of Gorkha, and they were known, they have a reputation for being some of the best disciplined and most fierce fighting soldiers anywhere in South Asia. And so they're recognized. Gorkha soldiers are recognized, have a reputation for being warriors. And I heard we sang together about fighting battles of the Lord, you know, fighting the battles of the Lord. So we're in a sense, we're enlisting people to be Gorkha soldiers for Christ. And so I want to ask you to pray for us One of the pieces of equipment that Gorkha soldiers use are these unique knives. I picked this up in Kathmandu. It's a Gorkha knife. It's got a distinctive shape. If you see a knife like that, and they use them, they've used these in agriculture for years. Some larger, some smaller, but this is a Gorkha knife. And I brought it along because I want to give this to your pastor. And I want you to have this, and when you see it, I hope you'll be reminded of Nepal, and reminded that there are soldiers of the cross waging battles for Christ on the other side of the world. And pray for the church in Nepal, would you? And I don't know where you're going to put this, but wherever it shows up, put it in a safe place, by the way. But wherever it shows up, and if you see it, just breathe a prayer for Nepal and the church there, okay? So this is yours, Tim, and thank you so much. I think what I'd like you to like us to do is watch this short video before I get into the word. And three things. The Nepal church has a bold goal of starting 5 new churches a year. And they don't entirely hit that goal every year, but they're moving at it. And in this video, you're going to see the rugged terrain. You're going to see the kind of transportation that we typically will do to get out to some of the villages and the churches there. Oops, well, I'll pick that up in a moment. But you'll see three churches sort of spotlighted. One is Taruka. Another village church is Apswara, and another village church is Pita. Watch for those three on this. Those are three new churches. I've been at the dedication of 2 of those within the last few months, and Pita is maybe about 2 to 3 years back. And they're actually, Pita is now starting another church that we're going to see built maybe this year yet. So if your vision is multiplication, this fits wonderfully. The Nepal church is busy reaching out, reaching into their world. It's an exciting work. And so let's just watch that. I'll pick up some of these things while we watch this.
Coming. Keep going. Thank you.
I hope that gives you sort of a little bit of a flavor of what kind of work we've done. Who would have thought that a guy from Kansas, just a common, ordinary Kansas farm boy, would end up climbing in the Himalayan mountains, traveling all over the Himalayan mountains. And so that's what we've gotten to do. God's call on a person's life is one of the most thrilling and scary things all at once, isn't it? It's one of the most wonderfully blessed ways of living in the call of God, but it's also one of the most frightening, most challenging. We've been places we didn't think we'd ever be, and we had seen opportunities that we never thought we'd see. We've had opportunities and challenges that we never thought we'd get through, and yet God brought us through, and people are coming to Christ in massive numbers, thousands. At one point, Nepal was considered the fastest-growing Christian place of Christian growth anywhere in the world. I don't know if it's kept, it still has that name or that reputation, but it's still fast growing, very quick. A lot of people are coming to Christ because the Christian message brings hope. Hope is something that's largely missing in that part of the world. I want to take you to Psalms, Psalm 1. God doesn't waste anything. And as Sandra said, we've spent almost 50 years in Christian ministry here in America, and I've taught the Word of God over the years, and I get to do that now. I've been able to do it. I get to do it every time I'm in Nepal, but also I have a love for children's ministry. Over the years, done some children's ministry, and I used to do sleight of hand object lessons, and if I have time, I might do that yet. Do one just a little one. But the reason that I even mentioned that is we've had the opportunity to do that, to use all of those gifts and skills and activities that we've learned over there in Nepal, and God has used it to reach people with the saving gospel of Christ. I want to take you to Psalm 1. It's a very familiar passage. It basically lays out two basic ways of living and two basic outcomes. And it's true here in America. It's true for us, but it's also true on the other side of the world. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There is the two options that basically present themselves to everybody. We can choose the way of acknowledging God, or we can choose the way of the wicked. Those are the two options. Some people choose that deliberately. Others choose it simply because they don't know what the options are. They don't have another option. They don't have the option of the Christian message. That's the way it is largely in Nepal. People have never heard the gospel of Christ. They've never heard the Christian message. And so they really haven't even had the opportunity to choose the way of the true God of creation. And so what we're trying to do is provide tools to the leaders, to these new young Christians, so they can get that message out. But there are only two ways, really. There's only two religions in the world. There's a religion of works, trying to earn my way to make myself deserving of some deity saying, you've done a good job in accepting me, or casting ourselves upon the grace of God, trusting in what Jesus has done for us. Those are the only two options. And this, the psalmist in Psalm 1 says that those who are blessed have not put their chosen the way of the wicked, whereas walking, how does it put it? Walking in the counsel of the wicked, that's going off in the direction of wickedness, standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of scornful. You see the progression. And evil always, sin always has a progressive thing. In Nepal, they've been for 2,000 years, have never heard and known anything other than the natural pagan religions of their area, their tribal religions, and then that sort of morphed into Hinduism and Buddhism finally. But that's all they've had. And as I mentioned before, there is almost no hope. There's almost no hope whatsoever. Because theirs is simply a religion of works. You've got to try harder, try to do more. We've traveled across Kathmandu numerous times, and when sometimes there's a bang or construction noise that startles people, we watch them go through Hindu rituals to try to provide good luck protection for them. It's largely a hope so kind of wishful thinking religion. Then the passage goes on to say, the one who's blessed in verse 3 is his delight, rather, the blessed one, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Some of you know about that. Many of you know about that. You have a delight in the law of the Lord. That's the Word of God. It's the Bible that gives us the distinctive understanding of the Christian, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Christian message and the way of Christ. It is the Bible that is our lifeline to God. The one who's blessed delights in the Word of God, and in His law he meditates day and night. And then it says, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I wish I could introduce you to Obed, the national leader. He's become maybe my best friend at this stage of my life. Obed is in his upper 30s, has three sons of his own. He was raised in an orphanage. He was a Buddhist as a young man. While an orphan in the mountains of Nepal, he heard a missionary message of the Christian faith, and he put his trust in Jesus, and his life was changed. And as a young man, he pursued the Christian message, and he sensed the call of God on his life, and he went to school. He ended up down in India pursuing some education, and when he came back, he met and married a woman, and he sensed the call of God, and he began to teach the Christian message wherever openings would come. But for some reason, as a young man, he was drawn to the Wesleyan Church in Kathmandu. And when I met him, he just showed up and he just introduced himself to me. He said, I'm interested in being of service to God. I think God wants me here. And he didn't have any official capacity in the Wesleyan Church. He simply said, I just need to be there. And so initially, I thought he's a gifted young man, and I thought he's going to go off somewhere else and identify with some other Christian ministry somewhere. But he just hung around because God seemed to put his heart, link his heart to the Wesleyan Church there. And he stuck around. And then after we were there for about a year, he ended up being the national leader. And God is wonderfully using him. And he's a key to that five churches starting every year throughout the country. And he has a church up way to the north. There's a church way up near the Chinese border that he's told me about. Just to give you a hint of what it's like there, to get to that church, I haven't been there to it yet. You have to travel about 5-6 hours by road. It's not that far. It's just rugged terrain, rugged roads. And then you have to go another, you get off, the road ends there, and you have to start hiking up the trail for another 5-6 hours. And that village has no electricity there, although everybody has cell phones, and they haven't figured out ways to charge the batteries. But other than that, it's as primitive as you can imagine. And there's a church there of about 150 believers that God has wonderfully raised up. And that's the way it is all over Nepal. There are churches being raised up supernaturally by God's grace, and they're pursuing this life that's blessed of God. It's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and is bringing forth fruit. But the wicked, it says in verse 4, are not that way. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Chaff is throwaway item. And there are literally millions in Nepal who have yet to hear the gospel once. And those are all, if they persist in without the message of Christ, they'll end their life without hope. And they'll be like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6 finishes this psalm by saying, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The outcome of the righteous is the blessing of God, heaven for all eternity, and the peace of God here and now. the outcome of the wicked is hopelessness now and ultimately in eternity, a godless eternity away from God forever and ever. And we're seeing dozens, and we're praying for thousands to come to Christ through the work of these 20-some churches that are growing rapidly. But we need your prayers. Now, I want to ask you, we're going to wrap this, I'm going to wrap this up. I want to do it this way. Some of you may want to pursue God, say, I want to be committed to the Word of God. I want to know what that means, to delight in the law of the Lord. And as we close this service, you'll be invited to renew your commitment to being a student of God's Word, to discover God afresh and anew and in deeper ways. The other side of the other option is I want to invite you to pray for the work in Nepal. The work in Nepal is just, a first-generation work. It's not over 20 years old from when Christianity first reached the people that we work with. And there are deep challenges, as you can imagine. One is, we just got word just this last week that the government in Nepal is stepping up their pressure to rule out other religions. In other words, that's Christianity. They're trying to squeeze out Christianity, so the people in Nepal are facing that. The believers, your brothers and sisters there, are facing increased pressure to not live as Christians openly. And so pray for them. That's always been a part of Nepal, but they've just upped the level now in the last few days. The second thing I'd like to ask you to do is pray for these new churches. They're brand new churches. Brand new churches. Pray for them. And they're being led by lay pastors who have to support themselves and their families through other means. Pray for them. And then the third thing I'd like you to pray for Nepal is we have a brand new young couple that's just been deployed into Nepal in the last month and a half. And that's Jarrett and Emma Keffler. They were located out here in Wyoming, in Sheridan, Wyoming. That's where they were pastoring or helping in the church there. And then they've just been deployed, and they're ankle deep or up to their necks in language study now. And God is blessing them and working through them, but they're going to stay there permanently. And so they're in language study right now for the next year and a half or two. And pray for their little girl, Selah, who's with their little one-year-old daughter as well. So that's the work of the Lord. We want to thank you so much for your generosity to make it possible. You are investing in a young church through us, and we ask you to pray. If you come look at our display out back here, we'd like to ask as many of you as are willing to sign up to be a part of our prayer team, to be our partners. And if you do that, whether you do it or not, whether you sign up or not, if you come back to that table, we'll see that you get a little something from Nepal. We have a variety of little items. One of those is pencils that are newspaper wrapped. They were actually old newspapers. They're wrapped and made into pencils. And we have one, as far as they'll go, we'll give them away as long as we've got them. And then I think we've got some other things, Sandra, will see that you get if you talk to us about Nepal a little bit. And if you enter into a partnership with us, we want you to have something to be reminded to pray for us. So let me pray with you right now. Could I? Our Father in heaven, You are at work in your world. You're raising up a church, a bride for yourself. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless each piece of that bride, that church. Bless the Quarry Rock Church. Lord, their stories, their lives here that you have wonderfully brought to salvation. And you're continuing to multiply this work of grace here. I pray for your blessing on the Quarry Rock Church. I also pray for the Nepal Wesleyan Church. All of those congregations scattered over those mountains, I pray for your favor and blessing upon them. And multiply the churches there. And help us, Lord, to be effective partners of the gospel. And Lord, we'll thank you for your goodness and your favor. Help us to step forward in faith. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.